Ring the bell. We've done it again. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates to 4.875 fixed. Lower your monthly payment, get cash out, pay off credit cards, and best of all, make no mortgage payments for 2 months. Lock in this incredible 4.875 rate and get your cash in as little as 14 days. Visit goldenoaklending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
5.81 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time, it's subject to change. Max one offer per account.
The story here is I mean, Aaron Judge is really just, you just run out of platitudes and ways to describe the guy. He's on pace for 190 RBIs. And the crazy thing, and not to directly contrast it to Soto, but you know we will, the guy behind him is batting .176. The guy behind him is batting .219. And the guy behind him is batting .182. So you know they're trying to be selective with Judge and kind of pitch around them. And the guy gets one pitch, kind of like Bonds back in the day, and he doesn't miss.
The note that I had last night while watching the game that I wanted to bring up today was just that I love everything about him. And I think we could appreciate him more on a day like today because it's been 10 games since he hit a home run. So it's, oh, my God, stop the presses. Judge has hit a home run. But that makes me appreciate his greatness even more as opposed to the 3-1 night, 2 the next night. As odd as that sounds, when you miss it for a little bit and then he goes out there and hits a big home run, not to mention all the things that he says. We didn't even get into the WBC aspect of Aaron Judge and Team USA captain. And, you know, he's like, I didn't even care. Tell the Yankees I'm doing this. All the things that he says, the way he handled the Soto comments. Remember, he was asked about that. I think it was Andy Martino, as a matter of fact.
That was a great response.
The day that we had him on, his response, that's how you handle that. Look, I'm not getting into this back and forth. Judge is a grown damn man. He's comfortable within his own skin. He is as confident a player as I have ever seen set foot on the field. Yeah, he may not be perfect. Nobody is, but he's the best baseball player I've ever seen. And we could get on him for October, and I just think it's a matter of time before he gets going in October as opposed to it being a thing. Now, the longer it goes on, the worse it may become. But still, this guy is everything that you could ever want in a player because he is the best player, not only in on your team, but in the sport, and also the best leader that you could have. How rare is it to have a player of that caliber be the captain and a true leader of a team as well?
Well, I mean, the Yankees seem to do a good job selecting their captains, although there were years where Derek wasn't necessarily the best player
team.
That's to your point, I'm sure. Mattingly obviously was before he got hurt. Nettles and Randolph and Guidry. Maybe, you know, it's Munson, of course.
Maybe more from a Mets perspective to where it seems that their best player, even right when he was a captain, I think was beyond his best days. Beltran was their best player for a while. Piazza, now Soto in my mind. And they're not that. It just should. It's not a knock on the Mets or really anybody else. It just should enhance how freaking special Aaron Judge is.
He really is. I mean, in a city that has seen some of the best players in the history of sports, I mean, we're watching the right-handed version of Babe Ruth, you know, recreated or reincarnated, Ruth 2.0, however you want to frame it, only he's a better athlete, it seems, and he's doing it against better pitching, and it's not just white players, and the ballparks are different, and there's relief pitching specialists. I mean, the things that he's had to deal with that Ruth and other titans of the game back then did not just illuminate what he or should illuminate what he is. The crazy thing, too, is this is a little bit less about Judge, but just more about the energy around the Yankees right now, the fans. Now, last night I was coaching my daughter's softball game. Yeah. It was freezing, man. It was cold. There was 22-mile-per-hour gusting winds, and the hour game started at 7.
Wow.
I mean, it was freezing, dude. Walk-off granny, by the way, to win it.
Congrats. There
you go. Yeah, yeah. I wish my daughter hit it, but somebody else did. Nah, it was a lot of fun. Anyway, it was really cold now. And last night, same deal at the stadium, pretty cold. The Royals, you know, all right, they got wit. That's about it. Nondescript team. It's not the Red Sox or the Mets. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the Yankees had 42,000, 43-6, and 44-7 at Yankee Stadium in the freezing cold on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in April.
Yeah,
it's pretty awesome.
It's impressive, and they weren't disappointed. I think the Yankees are playing their best baseball of the season, and you're starting to see. I know we focus on Judge, and there is another layer of Judge that I want to ask you about, but you're starting to see the things that we had thought might be the case for the Yankees in the offseason when they go away from Soto and building a team that could play some defense and mix and match and move parts around and be a team that could pitch well. How about the freaking catch from Bellinger last night? Oh. As much as we love Judge, I'm not even sure Judge makes that play, and I thought it was going to be a base hit for sure to tie the game, and yet Bellinger makes a terrific play, and he alone, being so versatile, has made a huge difference in this team.
There's no doubt. And listen, I think people thought I was, you know, coping, take a little hit of copium. There's some of the memes that were coming my way when I said that after Soto decided to go to the Mets, that there was a chance if they allocated their money properly and they got a little lucky and they were good at their jobs simultaneously, that the Yankees, it would be a different team, but it could be a more well-rounded team. And yeah, the play last night, I don't know that Judge gets it. I don't think Soto gets it. Bellinger did get it. That's all that matters. But think about even the previous night. Now, you and I had a conversation. You know, at what point do you let Dominguez finish a game? Mm-hmm. Especially when he just rips a big three-run double. His confidence is up. Let him feel the love in left field when he goes out to play defense. But they've got their plan, and I might not fully agree with it, but I get what they're doing. So they make that move, and they go to Grisham in center, who makes a hell of a play in the by the warning track against the fence in dead center field. And then Bellinger, who was in left field at that point when Grisham went to center, now you put Bellinger in right field, and he makes a game-saving play on a ball on a ball that had some spin and some. Like, that was a tough play. And I heard that coming back from the so actually coming back to the diner. We went to eat after, me and the whole family, because it was late. We just wanted to have something quick. And I heard the final call in the car coming home. And when I got home to, I had to see it match the description, it was even a tougher play than I thought. Like, that was a lights-out Gold Glove play.
Yeah, those type of players, those type of plays where you talk about Grisham and Bellinger, that's the difference in winning ball games a lot of times. Yankees can mash their way to victory in the regular season. In the postseason, those are the plays. That type of stuff is what, to me, gets you over the top. I know that the Dodgers have ridiculous talent. I'm not talking about them specifically. But something that's been lacking from the Yankees, playing baseball the right way, maybe we're starting to see signs of that. I thought this was a terrific series. Not just in the results. Mm-hmm. They also swept the Brewers, and I wasn't going nuts about that. Yep. This is different.
Because it was a crisper brand of baseball that's more transferable to October, to your point. I got a quick one for you. And this is I don't even know how you possibly. It's just a guess, really. So I'll give you a guess as well. I want you to go first. So watching Aaron Judge, he's 32. How many years do you think he has left to be this guy?
It's a great question.
He's a superhero.
I know, but you would think that with age, especially his body type, I can't imagine him doing this for many more years. I mean, what, two? At this
two
level.
Two would be disappointing.
Three?
Man.
You're saying he's going to do this but 35, age 36? I mean, I'm not
prepared to go 236 or past it. I would say this.
He's going to be 33.
This and at least two more.
In 9 days, he'll be 33.
This and at least two more.
Okay.
And then maybe that other year could be good, but not this.
Okay, fair enough. Right. So it doesn't necessarily have to be this. Even his version of good is still going to be better than most, which leads me to my question to you. Do you think if Judge, whether he performs in the postseason or not, the Yankees end up winning a championship with him, that he could become the most beloved player in Yankees history? Dude, think about what we're talking about, how good he is. We're using the name Babe Ruth.
I know.
I love Jeter, and Jeter has been a better Yankee to date because of all the postseason success than Judge.
Yeah.
But Judge has the combination of being better than any player, or at least on par with the best of the best.
Yeah.
The captain, he's got the look, all of it, all the record, home run record.
I think he's also a little more authentic. I think as we saw, and I appreciate that, Now, of course, I'm a Jeter fan, the way he played the game. But one thing that always bothered me about Derek, and I said this when he was playing, was that I thought he was a phony. That right. he was a fake. In terms of what he gave us.
Also not relatable, maybe. Yeah, not relatable.
And a phony in terms of not giving us the real him, which right. I also understood because he wanted to minimize distractions. He was all ball. And
yeah, I like that about him.
I get the pluses to it as well. And he comported himself as a pro and as a gentleman. Who knows what would have happened if we were in that situation yeah. back then. I mean, with that money and that New York at your disposal. My God, I don't know. I like to think that as an athlete, I would have found a way to maintain great focus, but there's no guarantee. And Derek did. So I laud him for that. I respect that. That's amazing.
But classy as well with the gift basket.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, if you're going to come over, you're going to feel good when you leave. And you're going to feel good when you stay, too.
Jesus.
Oh, God almighty. What are you doing
okay,
here?
Yeah.
All right, come on.
Yeah. Get back on track, yeah. I mean, so, all right, but Judge.
You know, so, but I watched Judge speak. Yeah. And there is a smile and there is a congeniality that and I'm not here to knock Derek. That's yep. not my point. But it's just a different presentation. I think it's easier to embrace and to want to love to, and it's more relatable.
And he hits the homers. Like, Jeter, as great as he was and as much as I love him, and I think he's a better Yankee to date,
mm-hmm.
judges the combo of A-Rod's talent, to use modern
yep.
terms.
Yep.
A-Rod's talent, but I think better, certainly better with the Yankees. Jeter's leadership, and then the personality and smile and all the... He's the combination of everything you could ever want.
It's basically perfect, except we wish he was a little bit younger here.
Well, and the one thing missing is the postseason
well,
success.
So, yes. No, I just want to make sure. When you asked me the question about could he exceed anybody and be the most beloved Yankee of all time, did you say he wins a World Series but doesn't play well?
Doesn't matter. Yeah, just the Yankees win a World Series with him being the captain.
Okay, but if he has
even if he doesn't play well.
All right, I think that would be minimized in the long run. I think that the elevation would occur. And by the way, for me, this is going to sound like a loser take because I would love one. I don't need him to deliver a championship for him to be as high on my list as he is, which, by the way, is number one.
Fair enough. But so you surpasses Mattingly and all that. Agreed.
You know, I mean, you do it from April through October into October to get him there. There's value there.
But you know
that
Yankee fans are not going to get there yet.
I know.
Which is what made me think of it last night. And maybe I'm sure there are a lot of Yankee fans who feel the same way you do, but I'm sure there are a lot who want to see the postseason success. If he does have postseason success individually and
about it, dude.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, then forget about the Yankees. Now I know we won't have the numbers like Hank Aaron, but you start looking at Frank Robinson, you start looking at Babe Ruth in terms of just all-time icons of the game. Forget about just the Yankees who have a lot, obviously.
If I ask you, give me the top two names in Yankee history who are the most beloved Yankee fans, could be any generation.
I would say, Babe Ruth. And I want to give him somebody modern, but I don't think Jeter's there. Maybe Ruth and Reggie.
Mantle's got to be in here, no?
Ruth and Mantle.
Mantle would be probably number one. About Ruth. Okay. Jeter maybe a third, something. I think Judge Mantle's probably the best one. Mattingly, by the way, should be in there as well. You know, he's revered.
Well, for me, he is. But, yeah.
but not just you. I mean, he's revered by Yankee fans. I know he doesn't have that championship, but he was symbolic of a whole era
yeah.
of Yankee fans.
Yeah.
So I think most callers call this station and show their love, whether it's historically or whatever. Mantle, Mattingly are probably the most two beloved. Maybe Jeter you want to throw in there. I think Judge will surpass them both if he has a big postseason and the Yankees end up winning a World Series.
And it's tough to love somebody. You know, even going back to the old conversations, I know Mike loves
yeah.
Mantle, of course, Mike Francesa. I get it. Anything about Ruth is just a regurgitation of numbers. But even going back to when Mike was still on the air, and Mike himself, there were many people, and there still are, thank God, who saw Mickey Mantle play. And obviously Mattingly. And I think there's different levels of appreciation. But I also think there's a commonality there where Mantle won a ton and he won championships. He also broke down physically like Mattingly. And I think it takes a very special, just to wrap this up in a bow, I think it takes a very special New York athlete to be so revered like a Mattingly and a Judge, to your point, without a championship. Like Ewing, to me, is a tick below that. Lundqvist is a tick below. Like, to me, that is a club of one or two. And to me, Judge is already in it.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC. Rory McIlroy wins the Masters, completing the career Grand Slam with all the majors. And it was one of those things where obviously he'd won a major before, but completing that was a big deal, having never won a Masters in 11 years in a row that he, you know, had gone there and not gotten it done, then finally did yesterday. So I'm thinking now, like, just in the other sports, who is the, because everybody, you didn't think a lot of people were rooting for him. I do think a lot of people were. There were some people that wanted to knock him down for sure on social media, but I think a lot of people were getting into the whole story about him getting over the hump and finally getting the green jacket and all that stuff.
I just hope I like these sports, you know, social media people, you know, he's not going to get it done. He's going to choke and all this other crap. And I'm like, he's one of six people to win a Grand Slam.
Right. It's insane. Well, he also, you know, he came off the U.S. Open and the choking, and obviously 2011 Masters where he choked. So people were just getting into that whole thing. But yeah, I mean, he's one of the greatest of all time. So like, who is the guy now in sports that should have gotten it done but hasn't yet? And everybody would be rooting. Well, not necessarily everybody would be rooting for, because there's team sports and people hate certain teams and whatever. But that the guy now, like if you would have said, you know, the best golfer to have not won something in their prime, and it would be Rory in the Masters. It used to be Phil in the U.S. Open. But could it be Aaron Judge in a World Series?
He dropped the ball.
Could it be Aaron Judge in a World Series?
I guess you could say that, because he is, you know, one of the top two baseball players in the league and will be this year, next year, and the year after, and was prior to this year. So, yeah, I could see you saying that. But, you know, it's such a team sport and such – it's depending on so many other variables. Like when you go, when I think of what you're talking about, I would go to tennis. I would go to, you know, obviously back to golf. I would look at an individual sport.
Well, but also, I mean, think though, like quarterbacks are judged on that all the time.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, I'm part of that long illustrious crew. But I would also say like Henrik Lundqvist was one of those guys.
Yeah.
And many of us as Ranger fans would say that the team screwed him. He gave them everything he possibly could, but they didn't get the right support. Could be the same thing for Igor.
Yeah. I mean, but with Judge, like, he doesn't hit in the postseason. So it's not like he's giving it everything he has and they're still losing. Like, he's...
I just think it's harder for you to deter... Like, you could say in the NBA... I'm just trying to think.
The best player to have not won right now in the NBA?
Yeah. Most of the top players have all won, haven't they?
Yeah. I mean, if you want to say, I mean, you want to say Luka, who got to the finals last year.
But it still hasn't won yet.
I mean, but do you think, obviously, LeBron,
like Anthony?
Curry, Anthony
Davis?
Well, wasn't he on the team when they won in the bubble?
Does that count?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like, Al, do you count that? Like
the bubble championship?
The bubble championship, does that count for you?
Nope.
No. It's not
real.
Played,
I know, but it wasn't a real season.
Okay.
Full season.
Sort of like the whole the COVID baseball one, the 60-game season.
Yeah.
No, only the NFL counts for that year.
Yeah. So like best quarterback right now to have not won that, but there's all those guys are
Joe
young,
Burrow.
But they're young still.
Josh Allen.
Yeah, but they're young. So it's not like a Rory comparison yet.
Yeah, but they're getting up there. I mean, like they've been in the league what, 5-6 years now?
But are any of them even 30 yet?
But don't you feel like every year you're like, this has got to be Josh Allen's year? So if Josh Allen is able to win a Super Bowl for the Buffalo Bills, plus coupled with the Bills' history.
Yeah.
If he's able to win, could you see Josh Allen out there on the 50-yard line crying?
Yeah, I could. Yeah.
I could definitely see that.
I could. Lamar Jackson, maybe another one.
Yeah, oh, he's another one. Yeah, he's a big one.
But you could also, all right, so if you don't like sometimes the individual players with, you know, comparing that to teams, you could do it with, like, franchises. Like that team, like you just mentioned, it made me think, like the Buffalo Bills. Like the Buffalo Bills, the Detroit Lions. Like people seem to get behind those teams.
The Bills were there four times.
I know.
The Bills have been so close with Josh Allen.
The Bills are Rory McIlroy until Rory got it done.
Yeah.
That's what they are.
I guess you could say that.
They've done a bunch of other stuff, but Rory McIlroy with the Masters, that is. You know? But 11 times, got so close and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
He finally got it done.
It was like when the Cubs won the World Series.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
That kind of thing, too.
The lovable losers.
Right, and the Red Sox as well. But yeah, I mean, it is harder when you're talking about the individual sport, but it's just like, you know, all eyes were on him. It was just one of those one of those deals where it was like the emotion and the game and the nerves and everything leading up to that. And then he ends up missing that putt on 18 is just wild.
It just makes it even that much more memorable.
Yeah, it
because
does.
Because of the way it went down. Now, because we're doing sports talk right now, I guess.
Sports talk, yeah.
Yeah, sports talk. So when LeBron left Cleveland to go to Miami to win championships, nobody really counted them because that was the big three and they all went together to go win.
Yeah.
And then it really didn't, like his career wasn't cemented until he went back to Cleveland to win it.
I agree. Yes. I do agree with
okay.
that.
Okay. So I don't know. I to me, a championship's a championship.
Unless it's a bubble championship.
Unless I guess so. But, you know, they built their team, you know, how like Larry, Michael, Isaiah, Charles, Patrick. Those guys are all ticked off because those guys were guys that competed against each other. They didn't come together and play with each other.
Yeah, it is true. But, you know, at that point, I mean, they should have won more. They should have won every single year that those guys were together down in Miami. You know, that was the thing. That was
and
sort
they
of
didn't.
That kind of looked like in that first year, the loss to the Mavericks. You could almost look at that, as crazy as it sounds, as underachieving that group. They should have blown
well,
everybody
the reason
out.
They got together was, you mean, they had that big press conference and,
yeah.
you know, everybody was coming out. They had smoke all over the place.
And another one, like and another one, and
like
another
five
one.
In a row.
Not one, not two, not three,
yeah,
not four.
Exactly.
Right? Bob's in Hapakong. What's going on, Bob?
How you doing?
Good. What's
hey,
up, Bob?
Can we hey, how you doing? Good morning, guys. Can we set a period of time to judge somebody for how long it is before they win a championship?
Oof,
yeah, Rory McIlroy was playing golf for many years, whereas Luca and
yeah,
and
phone's terrible. Now it's said that you can't judge, you know, the Rory and Judge because of the age. They're only 3 years apart, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, isn't this what they scream about on ESPN? Though they come up with these things.
Yeah,
they scream about it, and then dog sticks his face in the camera.
Yeah, no, I was just, to me, I was just curious because there's, you know, just thinking about the outpouring and how everybody was watching and then finally getting over the hump. Like, was there, what's the next one of those in sports that everybody gets on the same
well,
page?
Well, I think for Rory is when he hits $500 million. I mean, it's not like this guy
see,
is.
Yeah, but this is, I had this conversation with Perloff and I'm surprised that you are taking that side. Like there, and you agreed with me in the beginning. Like the money thing, when it comes down to certain moments, nobody's thinking about it. Like, and he came up with this, or when Nick Dunlap shot a 90 on the first day of the Masters, he came in. He's like, "Well, this kid's 20 years old. He's making millions of dollars. You think he really cares?" I'm like, "Damn right, he really cares.
100%. He does care. I'm not saying like because once you're playing, you're not even thinking about the money. But what I'm saying, once you take in everything, you see everything, okay, he wins, it's great. He gets the big check because it's a, you know, it's an elevated check now. It's $4.2 million for the winner. And you realize that, yeah, he came from humble beginnings, no question about it. And the last 17 years, it was up to him to get to this point. And the fact that he's won other majors and the fact that he probably makes a gazillion dollars off the golf course just on appearances, you know, endorsements and everything else. I mean, yeah, it is emotional when he does win, and you can see that he felt that way yesterday.
That's a nice, tidy win. 4-2 win. You know, obviously, Waka, I'm not saying he's a superstar, but he's a good pitcher.
For some reason, he's had, like, Judge's number. He's had Yankees number.
Well, they talked about that because of the changeup that goes inside to the – he kind of inverts whatever he does with the supinate, pronate, whatever he does. The changeup goes into Judge, and Judge does not handle that well. But Fried was outstanding. You got to love the four-run sixth inning. Dominguez, a three-run double. And there were some subtleties in the game that I really liked. Even Austin Wells, this is a little thing. Now, Austin Wells, you look at the box score, hey, he didn't do a ton. He had a walk in that the inning off the lefty, right? And the first two pitches were pretty close to the zone. And that, I'm forgetting the guy's name. He pitched in the playoffs against the Yankees left four times. Garber, whatever it is. He slingshots it a little bit. So if you're a lefty.
I thought that last one should have been a strike.
You thought it was close.
Pitch.
It was close. It was close. But the way he slingshots it, if you're a lefty, that's kind of hard to hang in there. And I thought Wells showed great maturity by letting two that were kind of close out of the chute ride by. Got the walk. And he scored from first base on a double. He didn't score from first base on a double down the right field line. He scored from first base on Dominguez's double down the left field line. So, You add it up. Williams a little cleaner than he, although he almost gave up a home run to center.
No, but still.
You know, nice to see him with a, that's a good win. And then Dominguez the night before with three really good plays in left field.
I think now two nights in a row against a quality team in the Royals. I know they're off to a little bit of a slow start, but they were 500 before they came here. You know, a team that was a playoff team. Obviously, the Yankees faced them last year. But less about the opponent and more about just playing the cleaner, crisper games. The moves that Boone makes to take out Dominguez and put in Grisham, you're seeing how the pieces start to fall into place here. The fact that they get down early in that game, bounce back. Williams, to your point, they're timely hitting, which is something that's been an issue. It wasn't last night all home run or bust. It was timely hitting, good at bats, getting on base. So I think a nice quality back-to-back wins here for the Yanks, starting to play better baseball, maybe the baseball that we, brand of baseball that we expected to see coming into the year.
Yeah, listen, I still think they have some flaws here. I don't think they're suddenly going to, you know, run away with things, but I do like the crisp nature that suddenly entered. Again, a small sample here. Fielding's better last couple of games. Base running a bit better. But and I said this too, like, so early in the game, before the home run by Kansas City when they jumped on the board early, you got Dominguez at first base. You got a base hit, right? Base hit to right field. We know we could run. There's two outs. It's no score. And you've got Peraza behind him, right? Just send them. Like, I think there's – and the Yankees – and when we have Boone on again, I'm going to ask him. I need to see, or I want to know why the Yankees aren't a little more aggressive putting guys in motion. Volpe can run. Peraza can run. Obviously, Dominguez can run. Bellinger, now Bellinger's got to get on base to run, but Bellinger could run. I mean, they've got some speed, and they don't utilize it, and I don't know why, and it's bothering me because that's a facet they have not had many times. They have not had that much, really, in the last 30 years. They got five guys that can run.
I still think it's a small sample size and, you know, circumstances. I'm not saying that one specifically wouldn't have been one last night, but a lot of times, you know, the Yankees power hitters, you don't not looking to run yourself out of an inning.
Yeah,
and,
we judge.
And these guys aren't getting on enough. The guys who can run, we talk about Volpe and Jazz. I mean, still the on base. Volpe at 324 right now. Jazz at 247. I mean, he's been a home run or strikeout for Jazz. Yeah, yeah. So I still think there's circumstance there. The one thing, well, not the one thing that would concern me. One thing that does bother me a little bit, the kid gloves with Dominguez. I get it. I understand it. It seems to be working as we're nurturing him along.
Mm-hmm.
But Boone said it last night. Like, they're developing this guy at the major league level. I don't understand it. Whether it's from the right side of the plate, whether it's in the outfield, it's like, this is the major leagues, not the minor leagues.
Mm-hmm.
You think nurturing Jason Dominguez and having him learn and grow at the big league level is the best way to go about developing a player?
Well, I think if the player has an immense skill set, I think like he does, he's obviously could run, he's got talent. I think it's a little bit more palatable for me in that situation. Generally, it's not the great recipe. No, you want to get some reps in the minors, come up a little more polished.
Yeah.
But I will say this, you know, you and I went so far as to say, don't even mess around. Just put him in center, put him in, put Belly in left. I said this 3 days into spring training games where he's really stabilized himself out there. And, you know, one of the moves that you're talking about last night, and I was disappointed. I got the response after from Boone, so it changed my opinion a little bit. So when he hit the double, he whacked himself in the head, and I guess his eyes contact.
Yeah.
I thought he may have concussed himself. The contact came flying out, and they took him out. Okay. Is that an excuse? I don't know. Now, it worked out because there was a bullet in the right, not quite straightaway center, a little to the right center gap that Grisham made a beautiful play on. Bellinger was in left field. So immediate dividends. It's like, well, okay, it worked out. But you're going to have to get to a point because if Dominguez keeps hitting and he's starting to hit a little bit, where you're going to want that bat or it's going to come around to his spot in the order. And even though Grisham's hitting, it's more okay than it was last year. I want Dominguez to feel the adulation of the fans when he's having a good night. Like, imagine if the contact doesn't fall out, right?
Right, thought they would get him out on a high note.
You think that they would have pulled him no matter what?
I do.
I agree, but I agree with you, but I don't agree with them doing that.
Right, well, he did explain it. I don't know if it was the John Boy, you know, he does what, Talking Yankees with John Boy and Jake. He's on with them. So he was on before the game. And he was explaining, I think it was there. Maybe I'm getting it mixed up now because I watched that.
It was, because it was definitely yesterday.
But he was explaining why he wouldn't, he's like, oh, well, just because Dominguez makes a nice play doesn't mean I'm going to leave him in, because then if he makes a bad play, then I'm taking him out. Like, they have their plan with him, and it's to have him play the beginning of these games, and then later in the games they're going to replace him for a defensive replacement as they kind of work him in. I forget where exactly he said it, but he explained the thought process.
I heard it.
So it makes sense, meaning that, okay, well, just because he made some nice plays last night, I'm not looking to keep him in and go against your plan, because what happens if he butchers one in left field – then it's going to be obvious why you took him out. Right now, they're kind of it is a mental thing, BT. We could minimize it, but it is a part of it.
But scared money don't make money. And I think that you're right when you say that he would have pulled him last night no matter what, independent of the contact. I think that's the wrong move. Imagine how Dominguez would have felt. And they were talking about this on the broadcast. I think O'Neill brought this up, and I was like, yeah, I'm shaking my head. Yep. If he's running out to left field after clearing the bases, all right, it's not the ninth inning of a September game, but, you know, it's higher leverage spot. Yankees trying to get going here a little bit. He's played well the night before. If he would have jogged out to left field, the love that he would have felt, I think that would have emboldened him even more to just keep going. So eventually he's going to make an error. I got news for everybody. So you could try to keep him in bubble wrap for the rest of the season, but eventually he's going to have to be a big boy. And I respectfully disagree with Boone's position on this. I would have run him out there. Now, maybe he would have, okay? We don't know with the contact, but... Yeah. The way they're playing this now, take the training wheels off. Dominguez looks good. He stabilized it. And by the way, confidence goes both ways. So I think the mismanagement of plays in the left field was really a lack of confidence. It shows you the power of the brain. Well, now he's got confidence. Let's see how high the ceiling is. Keep running him out.
But do you really think when you watch Dominguez, even with him making these plays, and some of them are routine, this is the major leagues here. Maybe not routine for him, but it should be routine in the major leagues.
Mm-hmm.
I'm watching him, and he's getting the job done, which is nice. I still don't have confidence in him. I'm not looking at a player who I think is a confident fielder, whereas you see Bellinger in the outfield, or obviously Grisham. Those are guys who know what they're doing, and they're going to catch every ball that's hit to them. I'm seeing a player that's still, you know, finding his
choppy way.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's an interesting observation. Now, sometimes I'll see Grisham catch a ball like at his belt, so lackadaisical. I'm like, man,
Belly does that too.
Most of these guys do, except Judge, of course. Judge all buttoned up with the fundamentals. But I mean, best player in baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, go ahead, say what you can say.
I mean, he did drop one in game five of the World. Yeah, right.
I know. So I look at Dominguez and I'm still trying to decipher, okay. Is he just a little choppy or mechanical because he's not fully there mentally or even from a transition to left field? Or maybe he's going to be one of these guys who just doesn't look like a fluid great fielder like Hunter Pence.
Well, do you have confidence in him?
Much. I mean, dude, I thought he was broken a week in his... Yes. Yeah. Do I have confidence?
It's growing.
Do I have confidence he'll make the routine play right now? Yes. Do I want to see more now so that... the less-than-routine play becomes a little more routine by the middle of the season? Yeah.
But what happens if it goes the other way?
Then if it goes the other way, which it could, and he melts, then he's not the guy anyway. Like, if his mental toughness is that fragile, then you got a bigger issue.
Right, but they don't want to risk that now when they don't have to.
I understand that.
At some point, you're right, they're going to have to do it.
I'm saying I would. I would say I've seen enough of a shift here that it's no longer an abrupt overreaction, force-feeding. He looks comfortable. He's vibing. You know, obviously good from the left side, big double from the right side, making some plays. Let the kid eat. Run him out there. Let him steal some bags, too. Let's go.
Yeah, I unleashed the beast. I just don't think he's there yet, which is odd to see. And by the way, maybe it's about the regular season as well being minimized to a certain extent, so where it used to be less acceptable to have guys learn at the big league level. I hate that when teams do it. The Mets did it for years. I can't stand it. This is the big league. You shouldn't be learning at the big leagues. However, with the less meaningful regular season, the way the sport is, it's you could get away with it more often.
It's more of a laboratory that doesn't kill you.
Well, for the greater good, too, with the Yanks, trying to figure out what Dominguez is at the big league level, learning a little bit, kind of nurturing him, working him into an everyday big leaguer and trusting him in the outfield eventually, which is something you're going to have to do because in the postseason, you know, you can't have four DHs. Somebody's going to have, you need his bat in the lineup. He's going to have to play left field in a big spot. You don't want to be taking him out late in these games.
Stan's going to come back. Grisham's, he's earned Rice, some at-bats. We talked about Ben Rice. We talked about that yesterday. Listen, problems, or I should say an abundance of options are obviously good. I'd rather that than no options, try to squeeze blood out of a rock. But I don't think this is going to be simple to navigate. The one thing, it doesn't seem like they're necessarily married to a blueprint with some other things. Like, did you think he was going to keep Fried in the game for a while? When he came out and took the ball, because there was a conversation. Boone waited a good 30 seconds before he went to them. Now, obviously, you're letting the bullpen arms get loose there at that point. But Max Fried said, did you hear what he said? He said, no. I got this.
And he still took him out. 94 pitches, though. I wasn't really thinking either way at that point that I would leave him. Like, I just trust the Yankee bullpen. You go on a Weaver there. Not a big deal. It's early in the season.
Yeah.
You know, postseason, maybe want to make a difference. I didn't have an issue with him coming out.
Interesting, though. Would have been one of those moments where, and it could have backfired to the point about Dominguez, but where you're trying to create an identity And Freed, who's been really good, if he says, I got this, and then Boone's like, you know what? All right, finish the job. Finish the inning, big boy. And he does. It sets things in motion there. But it worked out. He pitched great.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
It's a brand new spanking week on Evan and Tiki. Welcome in. The New York Mets are a first-place team. Rory McIlroy completed his masterpiece by winning the Masters.
It only took him 11 times.
The New York Knicks know who their first-round opponent is. I confronted Josh Hart in the Knicks locker room. There's a lot to get to on this very busy Monday, and I promise we will get to all of it, and we'll talk to you throughout the day at 888-808-1019. But we are only 15 games into the baseball season, so it is difficult at times to kind of go through what is real and what is, it's just a small sample size. But the Yankees starting pitching concerns are real, Tiki.
Yes, they are.
Despite it only being 15 games. And right now, 15 games into the year, I'll ask you guys a trivia question. Which starting pitching staff has the worst ERA in Major League Baseball?
It's got to be the Yankees. Otherwise, you wouldn't be asking.
That's true. That's a good point. It's not the Tampa Bay Rays. It's the New York Yankees. I think that's real. Which starting pitching staff has the best ERA in Major League Baseball?
That's got to be the Mets.
That's got to be the Mets. And quite frankly, we'll get more into that as the show goes on. I don't think that's real. But the reason I'm concerned about the Yankees, and I go back to something I said a year ago and something that I've kind of feared for a while, a lot of you have, and that is I don't trust Carlos Rodon. I don't trust him in a big spot. I don't trust him in a small spot. And what we saw over the weekend, yesterday specifically, is even Tiki, when he's at his best,
right,
I don't trust him because that one or two mistakes will sink his outing. And that's what we saw yesterday. And I don't trust him. And quite frankly, I don't trust anybody in the Yankee rotation not named Maxwell Fried.
Yeah, Max Fried is the only one that's been consistent. You know, Stroman, who we talked about the other day, last weekend, at the end of last week, he goes out and gets rocked immediately, then he leaves the game and has knee inflammation. I guess I can say, fortunately, it's not that much, but it feels like Marcus Stroman doesn't have a lot left. At least hasn't shown it so far this year. Now, maybe that's injury. Carlos Carrasco is just shot. Will Warren is just young. There's nowhere you can turn to and say, other than Max Fried, and say, I trust this outing is going to get five innings.
Yeah.
Now, when you talk about the Mets have had their struggles, too, with some of their starting pitching. Tyler McGill gets off to rough starts, right? So does Dave Peterson. But they figure it out, right? In the midst of struggle, you get a mound visit from their pitching coach, and all of a sudden, they're back on. They get through five innings, get to the bullpen, things settle down, they find ways to win games. For the Yankees, it's, I can't figure it out. I get rocked early, and then I don't know if it's emotional or if it's just a self-fulfilling, and I mean this negatively, prophecy, then the bats go dead.
Right.
And so it's like everything feels connected towards spiraling down with the Yankees, whereas the other team in town, when things go wrong, they kind of just stabilize, figure it out, and rise.
Yeah.
That's the challenge for the Yankees right now, is figuring out how to not let the little bad mistakes happening early compound to become a meaningless game.
I think that early in the season, you see things and you can easily say, yeah, that's happening, but it will change. Like on the Mets side, Juan Soto's not off to a great start. I'm not worried about it. I think at the end of the day, Juan Soto's going to put up massive numbers.
He's Same thing. Juan Soto.
He's Juan Soto. Same thing when Aaron Judge got off to a bad start last year.
Right.
I look at the Yankee offense, and while they're averaging six runs per game, they've also been wildly inconsistent. They got off to a great start with the torpedo bats. Then they don't hit. Then they hit. Then they don't hit
again. It wasn't the bats.
Of course. But it was a convenient story at the time. I think the Yankee bats will be fine. I think their bullpen will be fine. I don't know about this rotation because I see Max Fried, and you mentioned it, Tiki. I put him to the side. Max Fried was given $200 million for a reason. He's one of the better, more reliable starting pitchers in baseball. You look at the rest of the rotation, Carlos Rodon, who is my concern number one, and I know you share that too, Sean, when you told him to kiss your fat ass about a year and a half ago. But the problem with him, in a lot of ways, is yesterday. Like, that's the start that drives me nuts.
Right.
Because it's one thing when you have a bad day and you survive and you fight through five or six innings and you give your team innings and you keep your team in the game. Yesterday, Carlos Rodon was electric. He was exactly what you paid for. But he made just enough mistakes to screw himself and screw the Yankees. And he seems so uber emotional. We saw that in the postseason last year. We see it even after games. Like, two starts ago, Rodon was almost about to cry when he was talking about, I'm walking too many guys. Then he comes out in his last start yesterday and, of course, issues the horrific walk specifically to Willy Adames right before he gave up the home run. It's almost like these moments get to him. It's almost like the emotion gets to him. And look, a game on
April. That's what it is.
Is that what it is?
It's the emotion.
Well, that's concerning.
Of course it is. I mean, it's a good thing when it works for you, when it allows you to rear back and hit 97 or whatever it is you need to do to record it out. But when it starts to affect your mind and your approach and you then make mistakes off of that, that's unacceptable.
Yeah.
That's what he needs to figure out how to control. Well,
it just seems like you look at last year's postseason. He made four starts in the postseason. Three of them were lousy. One of them was really good in the ALCS when he controlled his emotion against Cleveland. Mm-hmm. He didn't walk anybody. Like, it was incredible. He walked basically nobody in the postseason, but he gave up the big home run. He gave up the big hit in the worst possible moment. That's exactly what happened yesterday. So what concerns me about Rodon is, A, I think the emotion gets to him, which is a part of why I'm still not fully convinced he's made for this city and made for this town. And even on days in which he's really good, his stuff is electric, he fails.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do about it because he's making a lot of money and he's going to be in the rotation. And God knows they need him, considering the injuries they're dealing with. But he is probably the face of my worries around the Yankee rotation.
There's no doubt about it, Evan. And also, now we're talking about a career pattern that cannot be ignored. Going back to 2020, we are talking about high ERA, sub ERA, high ERA, sub ERA. We got the best of Carlos Rodon last year at that 3.96. Look at the year before, 6.85. The year before that in the twos. And then he gets back to an eights in 2020.
Going back.
It's back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. The trend is too much to ignore. He's going to be like this all year where you feel like you get dominant innings and complete implosion in others. And what the Yankees have to do and have to figure out, and hopefully part of that is Clark Schmidt coming back, they just can't rely on him, salary be damned, to be this number two guy and think that every turn through the rotation you're at least going to get a Max Fried and a Rodon start. I'm sorry, his inconsistencies tell me he has to be counted on more like the fourth, fifth starter on this team.
And that's why you mentioned the guy's name. Clark Schmidt is on his way back this week. Mm-hmm. And in his first start back, he's probably not even going to be allowed to throw that many pitches. But they need him. I mean, Clark Schmidt has all of a sudden become one of the most important New York Yankees because Carlos Carrasco, and he'll be on the mound tonight in what may be his final start as a Yankee. We'll see. I think the Marcus Stroman injury has kind of saved him a little bit. We'll see how severe that is. But Carlos Carrasco stinks. I no one's trusting him. Will Warren's an X factor because I think in his three starts he's been effective. Two out of three have been good.
Pitch well Saturday.
He did, but he doesn't go deep into games, and you don't know what to expect from him. And then you wait for the cavalry to come back. Luis Gil, God knows when he's coming back. And you mentioned with Stroman, he's down for now, but he has been so bad to start this season. Friday night, and here's why I can't blame the weather. I can't blame the weather because the Giants had to play in the weather, too.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's not the weather stunk. That's why Marcus Stroman couldn't get a freaking out before he gave up five runs. So there are a lot of questions around this rotation, and it's concerning because I think coming into this season, the reason I believe the Yankees were going to win the division, the reason I thought the Yankees would be fine, was because I thought their starting pitching would be their strength. And now, Yankees are going to have success, they're going to have to score a lot of runs.
It was their strength until it wasn't. And it happened very quickly for the heel injury and then obviously with the Tommy John that Garrett Cole had to go through. So all of a sudden, their biggest strength became now their biggest liability. And the challenge is that there's not easy answers, right? There's not this ready, well, we thought Will Warren would be that kid, but there's not that ready and willing, able arm in the Triple A, their Double A that's ready to come up and fill that role. And maybe they have to do that at some point just to see, but do you trust that?
No.
I don't trust that.
No.
And so they would have been here already. And no. So at this point, where do you turn to if you're the Yankees? And it's too early to start saying this is desperation moments, right? We need to trade for somebody. It's way too early to do that.
But I don't know how much longer you can wait before you start thinking of doing that.
I think the danger of what we're understanding now is you can't assume the Yankees figure out how to fill every problem they have when the time does come to make trades on this team, right? Come trade deadline. And I think as it stands, I have a hard time thinking that the importance won't be on finding a starting pitcher over finding another bat or even a third baseman. So all those other holes we talked about in the Yankees, they may ultimately have to live with as we get deeper into summer where they use their assets to acquire a starting pitcher.
It's funny, Meg, because when we sat here in March getting ready for the start of this baseball season, you looked at the pitching, and you said it, Tiki, it was till it wasn't, mm-hmm. as the strength. Like, yeah, they're not going to have to add an arm at the trade deadline. It's going to be a bat, maybe a third baseman.
Right.
I have more confidence in this Yankee offense being the strength of this team, granted through only 15 games, than I do the rotation.
It's KM to AM on WFAN.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM, the Fan, WFAN.
Here, that's a sweep. Bring the brooms out for Kansas City. New York City, let's do it, man. Dial 888-808-1019 one time. The Yankees win. The Yankees win. It feels good to win. It feels good to win every night. It feels good to win a series at home in front of Yankee fans in better weather. Led by the captain, Aaron Judge, the best hitter in baseball. Yes, go check the stats. He's at the top. Adds another homer. The average is at the top. The OPS is at the top. He's close in homers and RBI, but not just Judge, man. Clark, welcome back. Volpe, good to see ya. All those guys, man, out there, that Yankee defense, the bullpen. Start spreading the news. Tell everyone. The Yankees are heading down to Tampa, and if you're a gambling man like myself, you know, just a couple coins here and there. FanDuel, you know. Dinger Tuesdays, couple profit boosts, nothing crazy. I didn't bet this series too much because it was cold and whatever. You know, Seth Lugo the other night, and I didn't know what to expect. Save your coins for this upcoming slate. Back in Tampa, at home, home away from home, at the boss, George M. Steinbrenner Field. The four games coming up against the Tampa Bay Rays with Will Warren on the mound, Carlos Rodon, Carlos Cookie Carrasco, and Max Fried, 417 to 420. I just know that the Yankees are going to go down there. I was just listening to Aaron Boone talk about, you know, packing up the cold weather Yankee gear and sending it to Cleveland. Like, these guys play so well in better weather, and they haven't played as great so far in the rain and the cold. Here it comes. Not saying they're going to sweep the Rays, but you can't lose to the Rays in your own ballpark. You're lending them. But, yeah, I wanted to start with that. You know, it's good to see the Yankees come out there and put another win together. Three different days where they scored four runs, and they did it in different ways. When they flashed that bullpen budget at the end of the game, I was like, hey, it is what it is. You know, let's finish this one out. And they did. If they didn't, I was going to blame y'all in there doing the wave. Why do y'all do the wave in there? Especially in a 4-3 game. Are you bored at that point when the game is tight? Like, right, I guess it was, you know, the Captain Judge hits the homer. He's the difference. Everyone is in there ready to party and celebrate. Like, the game is over. They start doing the wave. If that went south, I would have blamed everyone in there doing the wave. But it is what it is. You paid your way in. Do what you want to do. We can't police fans. 888-808-1019. If you're driving home from the stadium, call me up. Let me know how it was. I know it got a little colder last night and into today. I know it was a little windy out there. But again, Yankee Stadium and Yankee fans, 43,720 in attendance. The attendance went up game by game. 42, then 43 and some change, and then 43.7. So the Yankee fans are out there supporting this team. Don't let anybody tell you anything. There was a lot of noise coming out of Detroit and then losing the series to the San Francisco Giants. I felt like there was a lot of negative energy, and I'm begging y'all, please, just like, wait. It is not getting early late. We have plenty of time, and this team is deep. They have so many guys. Obviously, they're led by the MVP, the best player in the world, but they have so many guys that contribute, veterans and young guys.
I'm asking for patience, right? It was Dominguez the night before. And Volpe, right? As soon as people were ready to say, oh, here comes Volpe slump, Volpe comes through. You know, some people even mad about Belly having a back issue, having food poisoning, you know, missing games. Belly coming through. Goldie Knox, he's good for a knock almost every night, maybe multiple. He's got 8 games with multiple knocks. And just give these guys time to keep rounding into form and becoming this version of the New York Yankees. They are 11-7. They are in first place. They are a good team. And they're in the American League where, like, man, why can't this be the year? I know, we don't need to jump to October. Well, why can't this be the year that they go back to the World Series? And I was saying this in the offseason, so I'm not really getting ahead of myself, but why can't this be the year that, you know, Judge just carries them through October? All the talk and all the hate, so much for a slow April. I was watching the postgame in here, and they flashed Judge's numbers from 2024. He had a 182 average April of 2024. Well, he's got a 409 average this April, the highest average of anyone in the league, in both leagues. He had 3 homers last April. He's got 7 now, so more than double that. 9 ribbies last April. He's got 21 now. Scored 7 runs last April, 20 now. His OPS, 0.731 last year. He almost doubled that. He's at a 1.322, the highest in baseball. I know we say this a lot, but I feel like y'all still don't appreciate the greatness of number 99. All rise. Aaron Judge is ridiculous. I don't care about any haters that want to bring up the postseason or October. Live in the moment. Enjoy this now. He was the difference tonight. I was pleading for them to add one more run, and you know who did? Judge. There it is. Boop. Carries right into the bullpen, and the bullpen catcher catches it, and that's all you need to sweep the Royals. They're our pals. They're our friends. They're not really trying to beat the Yanks. They're not really trying to come into Yankee Stadium and do anything with the Yanks. They can't.
Real quick, I got the Yankee lineup here. I want to give this to you. All right, so Rice 1, Judge 2, Belly 3, Goldie 4. By the way, Rice 300, Judge 367, Goldie 367. I mean, I can't remember the last time I saw that atop a Yankee lineup in the first, you know, 14, 15 games of the year. Now, Bellinger has got to get going. I think he will, but he's in the 3-hole. Buck 91, Jazz 5, Volpe 6. Volpe has not done much. Wells, Dominguez, and Peraza gets the start.
I don't like the idea of moving Wells that far down. Me personally.
Especially after he had a home run last night.
Yeah, I don't. I was going to say I don't like Jazz, but that's not true. I do like his personality. Yep. I don't like him as a player. I don't like the strikeout. I don't need Jazz to hit 30 home runs.
He strikes out a ton, dude.
That's the point. I'd rather him hit fewer home runs and make more contact. The Yankees keep chasing these things. Like, is Brian Cashman ever going to learn? They keep chasing the same type of offensive player. A guy who's going to hit a ton of home runs, but strike out a ton.
The difference with him is that he obviously runs.
Now defense.
You got to get on base to run. And defense. So I think that in the past, Cashman has been, you know, fooled by some tantalizing power, and he's kind of overlooked some other stuff. At least the glove for Jazz is plus.
Yeah.
The speed is probably plus. But his approach is, I mean, the reason why he's got a 31% on base percentage. He swings from the heels, man, like he's Reggie.
Yeah, and that's why I don't know if I like it there. I think Wells can be a better hitter.
Me too.
So maybe I'd rather have him there. And who knows? It's a long season, as Boone told us on opening day. A lot of different iterations of the lineup. One thing about the Mets lineup in comparison to the Yankees, they are consistent. Remember last year? I'd be curious. Hoff, is there a way you can look up or Zoo how many different lineups the Mets have had in 15 games so far?
Well, this came up last year. Hoff is jumping in on
remember
that.
We had the conversation for last year. And
it was a lot more than we thought.
Correct. But I feel like this year, and maybe the right way is not to say the different lineups, because you're going to have guys, you know, at the bottom
Taylor,
of the order.
Siri, catchers.
Exactly. But more so the top of the order.
First 5 or so,
yeah,
first 6.
I feel like the Mets has been consistent with the Yankees. I know it's starting to get there with Rice, being the mainstay, but it's been all over the place for the first 15
years. Well, think
years
about the advantage of the Mets. It has been a little bit all over the place. The advantage that the Mets had built in is they started the season, Mendoza knew, all right, batting first, playing shortstop, Francisco Lindor.
All right, second, they, Soto, third, Alonso. Like,
boom.
Yeah.
And the third was the decision that they had to make with Alonso, which has been justified, even though you and I didn't like it to start. We might have to take a small L on that in a small sample, and Pete's hammering the ball. But whereas with Boone, you contrast Boone and his dilemma. He goes down to Tampa versus, you know, Mendy, and he's like, all right, I mean, I'll try Dominguez, I'll try Volpe, I'll try Jazz, which he did, I will try
Wells,
Austin Wells,
Goldschmidt,
and then Ben Rice. I know, Goldie, yeah, so I actually give the Yankees a lot of credit for being flexible with this, and I got to be honest with you, when you look at the first four hitters, 300, 367, I know, Belly's 191, and then Goldie 367, the buttons that they're pushing so far have been pretty good for something that is far from stable.
Yeah, Ben Rice has made Aaron Boone look like a genius.
Yeah, he looks good.
And Goldschmidt as well.